Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministering the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. This is another awesome opportunity that our Father has given to us to come around his word with the saints, to lay hold on and to partake of the things that he has prepared for us. Wherever you are joining us from, thank you. On whatever platform you are joining us today, thank you. Thank you. I do welcome you. I'm going to dive right into the Word of God. I'm excited to get back to studying with you God's love revolution. Hallelujah. What a transformation. What a paradigm shift in every one of these powerful lessons that the Holy Spirit continues to help us partake of. It is truly amazing to me how the Word of God continues to come alive and great illumination and great substance and great glory and great power continues to be unleashed upon us through the study of the Word of God. Hallelujah. So let's bow our heads together tonight and let's get into the presence of our Father. Lord, we thank you so much. We made this appointment with you for tonight. You are already here with us. In fact, you were here before we got here. And I thank you for your mighty presence. I thank you, Father, for all of my brothers and sisters, everyone that's under the sound of my voice tonight. We are all together tonight with great expectation to again hear your voice, receive from you, and to plug in to everything that your love has prepared for us, your everlasting love. Welcome, precious Holy Spirit. We yield to you tonight, all of you and none of us. We ask that you will cause the light of your countenance to shine on the Word of God tonight. Grant us revelation, cause the eyes of our understanding to become enlightened, so that we can rise and rise in greater revelation in the knowledge of you. I thank you, precious Lord. I give you all the glory and all the praise tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much again for joining us tonight. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of any man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. He is the one who loved us first. He loved us first. And when he loved us, he transformed our lives and he circumcised our hearts and gave us the ability to love him. With just a fraction, we can love him back. With just a fraction of the love with which he loved us. The Bible says right there in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3. This has been one of the key scriptures that we have continually visited every week. The Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. If you have been with us, thank you. These studies have been an experience of building and putting one brick on another. We've laid a foundation and we've just continued to build as the Holy Spirit has helped us. having a revelation of the love of God is absolutely life transforming. It is absolutely life transforming. That scripture that we all love to quote in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, is deeply rooted. 28 and 35 is deeply rooted in the revelation of the love of God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 25 is deeply rooted. All of the blessings and all of the promises in that scripture are deeply rooted in a revelation of the love that God has for us as his children. You know, in 8:28, it says, and we know, not that we think, not that we hope, not that we wish, but we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. And then in verse 35, he says, in verse 37, he says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when we have a revelation of the love of God, everything in our lives have to line up for our good. That is the way the Lord has arranged it. Remember, 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of any man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him, for them that he loved, and who love him back with a fraction of the love with which he loved them. Hallelujah. Everything begins with a revelation of the love of God. As we continued on in our studies, we have seen different aspects of the love of God. When God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, we know there is nothing longer lasting than everlasting. There is nothing longer lasting than everlasting. And so through every season of our lives, today, tomorrow, next month, next year, God loves us. And God's love is like the Ark of Noah that carries us. The Ark of Noah that carries us. God's love is the bedrock of God's covenant. His covenant is actually based on his love. Because you remember, that covenant was initiated, it was ratified by the sacrifice, the sacrificial offering of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how was that sacrificial offering different from the offerings of all of the priests that came before him? Because that sacrifice was based on love. It was a sacrifice based on love. We have studied a lot of these things. And I know periodically as we go from time to time, we will revisit once in a while. But you do remember that the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ was entirely based on his love for us. That's why in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, the Bible says, walk in love, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Glory to God. In the Amplified, it talks about God perceiving this aroma. It says, walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a slain offering and sacrifice to God for you, so that it became a sweet fragrance. The love of Christ was what compelled him to make that ultimate sacrifice for us. And that ultimate sacrifice became the basis of the covenant that God enacted with us. That covenant is an everlasting covenant and is based on his everlasting love. That means in every season of our lives, God's love has already made preparations for us. One of the things we have learned as we have studied along, we have studied from the life of David. David was one of the characters of the Old Testament who really had a revelation of the love of God. The revelation of the love of God that David had was so life transforming that it made him completely different from most people in his generation. His love, the revelation that he had, the revelation that he had about the love of God for him singled him out completely. And last week we delved further into some of the things you remember in Psalms, in Psalms 139, right? One of those powerful Psalms that David wrote right from the very beginning. you see the revelation of the love of God that he has. So he says, just knows God surrounds him altogether. And the revelation of the love of God that David had was the life changer for him. That was the life changer and the game changer for him. So almost everywhere David went, almost everything he did, he had a consciousness of the love of God. I asked a question last week. It wasn't a trick question. What does his name mean, David? It means beloved. It means beloved of God. It means God delights in him. So every time David heard his name being called, what he was hearing was beloved of God. Beloved of God. You are beloved of God. You are beloved of God. You are beloved of God. Every time David heard, David, whoever was calling, regardless of who was calling him, whether it was friend or foe or family, David always heard, you are loved by God. You are loved by God. You are loved by God. God delighted in him and he knew it. He says right here in Psalms 139, it says, a psalm of David, oh Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know everything about me. Obviously, he knew God was, God just loved him. I mean, who takes the time to know everything about somebody else, right? If they don't love them. You know everything about me. You know when I sit down or when I stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it. Lord, you go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in the darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. That's him. It's marvelous. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. He's so confident in the love of God for him. So confident. So confident that in some of his Psalms, I'm confident. One of them is Psalm 57. My heart is fixed. But one of the translations translates as, I'm confident in you. I'm confident. I'm settled in you. I'm rooted in you. Hallelujah. He says, you watch me. You watch me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Oh God, if you would only destroy the wicked. And goes on and on and on like that. How precious are his thoughts towards him. In Psalm 57, the 57th Psalm from verse 1. Hallelujah. The 57th Psalm from verse 1. This was a psalm that was written in a very difficult time of his life. We read this last week too. Glory to God. We read this last week too. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I look to you for protection. I will hide beneath the shadow of your wings until the danger passes by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He will send help from heaven to rescue me, disgracing those who hound me. My God will send forth his unfailing love and faithfulness. I'm surrounded by fierce lions who greedily devour human prey, whose teeth pierce like spears and arrows, and whose tongues cut like sword. Be exalted, O God, above the highest heavens. May your glory shine over all the earth. My enemies have set a trap for me. I'm weary from distress. They have dug a deep pit in my path, but they themselves are falling into it. Look at verse 7. My heart, it says in the King James, my heart is fixed. But this is the way he puts it in the New Living Translation. My heart is confident in you, O God. My heart is confident. No wonder I can sing your praises. Wake up, my heart. Wake up, O lyre and harp. I will wake the dawn with my song. I will thank you, Lord, among all the people. I will sing your praises among the nations. For your unfailing love is as high as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. His unfailing love. David has such a deep revelation of the love of God for him. Glory to God. He was singularly responsible for the remarkable life of success that David lived. You know that. See what he says in, I love the way he described himself. We know this scripture because one whole year, this scripture was really the central piece, central theme scripture for a lot of the ministry that we did just a few years ago. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, let's read that from verse 1. All the success that David enjoyed, he believed, he knew, it was because of the love of God for him. You know, this is a short Bible study, and praise God, when we come together like this on Wednesdays, I have mentioned before, my goal is to keep it short and sharp and direct. And I believe that the Holy Spirit takes one revelation here, one revelation there, and causes that to explode in the lives of different people, depending on what the Lord is ministering to us. But in each of these sessions, in each of these services, we get something supernatural and something powerful that then doesn't just carry us the rest of our week, no, actually impacts our life for the rest of our season. Amen. Listen to this. It says this is 2 Samuel 23 from verse 1. These are the last words of David. These are the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, he speaks. David, the man who was raised up so high. David, the man anointed by the God of Jacob. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. Hallelujah. See, he's the one. This is you notice in this scripture. These are the last words of David. And then you see the quote marks, then quotation marks. And this is the introduction that David wrote about himself as he was wrapping up his journey on this earth. And look at the way David describes himself. I'm reading this again from the New Living Translation. This is 2 Samuel chapter 23 from verse 1. David, the son of Jesse, speaks. David, the man who was raised up so high. David, the man anointed by the God of Jacob. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. The sweet psalmist, that word sweet is delightsome, is the word pleasurable, is the word really loved. The word means he's delightsome. He called himself delightsome. He called himself pleasurable. He called himself sweet. The sweet psalm. He could have just said David the psalmist of Israel. Right? He could have just said David the psalmist of Israel. reminds me very much, we'll touch on that briefly, I think sometime next week, reminds me very much of the New Testament equivalent, of this. Was one of Jesus's disciples who always described himself as the one that Jesus loved. I mean, out of 12, every time he wrote, Peter didn't describe himself as the one Jesus loved, even though he knew Jesus loved him. Andrew didn't. James didn't. But John, the beloved. In fact, he was called John the Beloved. John the Beloved. Why? Because he had a revelation of the love that God had for him. He had a revelation of the love that Jesus had for him. And look at the privileged place that he had in God's end time agenda and the revelation of that agenda. David was pretty much the same. Right? That's why I call it the New Testament equivalent of David. He called himself the Beloved. David was the Beloved in the Old Testament. Look at this man and the amazing life that the Lord blessed them with, because they had a revelation of the love of God for them. The goal of everything we have done for several weeks now is to get us to a place where we become so deeply rooted in the revelation of that love that we know 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 that God loves us. That no matter what we experience, no matter what we see, no matter what we feel, no matter what's going on, we just know that we know that we know that we know that God loves us. Can you say this with me tonight? God loves me. Say that again. God loves me. Now say it this way. I know that I know that I know that I know that God loves me. Amen. I know. Say it one more time. I know that I know that I know that I know that God loves me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the greatest revelation. That's why we call it the love revolution. It's the greatest. It affects our thinking. It creates a paradigm shift. It creates a difference in our expectations, in our outlook on life. It changes our perspective. It changes everything. That's why we call it love revolution. It revolutionizes everything about our lives. When we get a hold, when we lay hold on a revelation of the love that God our Father has for us. Let's read this again. David, this is 2 Samuel 23 from verse 1. David, the son of Jesse, speaks. David, the man who was raised up so high. David, the man anointed by the God of Jacob. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. Verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His words are upon my tongue. The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me, the one who rules righteously, who rules in the fear of God, is like the light of morning at sunrise, like a morning without clouds, like the gleaming of the sun on new grass after rain. He's describing his life, the experience of life that he has had, because of the esteemed place that God gave him. Glory to God. Verse 5. This verse is so powerful. This is the scripture I was talking about earlier. I think for almost a whole year was the central theme scripture of a lot of our studies. And a lot of the revelations that the Lord gave to us was from this scripture. Look at it, verse 5. Is it not my family that God has chosen? This is David talking now. Is it not my family that God has chosen? Yes, he has made an everlasting covenant with me. God chose my family. God made an everlasting covenant with me. His agreement is arranged and guaranteed in every detail. His agreement is arranged and guaranteed in every detail. He will ensure my safety and my success. Look at that. Is it not my family God has chosen? He has made an everlasting covenant with me. His agreement is arranged and guaranteed in every detail. He will ensure my safety and my success. He said in verse 6, but the godless are like thorns to be thrown away, for they tear the hand that touches them. But he said, that's not me. I cannot be thrown away. I'm not like a thorn. I have a privileged place in God's plan. He has made an everlasting covenant with me. He has loved me with an everlasting love. My family is chosen before him. His agreements are arranged. They are arranged in every detail. They are arranged and guaranteed in every detail. His agreement with me, he will ensure my safety and my success. Remember, we said earlier, the remarkable life of success that David lived as one of the Old Testament saints was because of the revelation of the love of God that he had. Glory God, glory to God. Thank God for David. Thank God for all of these Old Testament saints. Thank God for the amazing lives that they lived. But you know, this study is not about them. This study is about you and me and the amazing plans that our Father has for us. You are just as beloved. In fact, you are beloved because the New Testament, the Bible says the new covenant is a better covenant than the old covenant. And it was established on better promises. If David saw himself as sweet, beloved, delightsome, pleasurable, if he saw himself as loved by God, you and I must see ourselves just as much, if not more. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's read one last scripture in 2 Thessalonians. Let's read one last scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You are just as beloved. You are just as beloved. Let's read this from verse 13. And again, I'm going to read this, I think, from the, let's read this from the King James. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 from verse 13. You are just as beloved. Remember last week we read that scripture in Ephesians 1. We are accepted in the beloved. We are just as beloved before the Lord, before our Father. Amen. Let's read this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, as we begin to wind this down. It says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has, from the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. He's talking to us now. Brethren, look at it. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Brethren, beloved of the Lord. Brethren, beloved of the Lord. That's you. Brethren, beloved of the Lord. He's calling you beloved of the Lord. You are God's New Testament David. You are delightsome. You are a delightsome land. You are his Hephzibah. Glory to God. You are his Hephzibah. You are his Beulah. Glory to God. There are those lines in our 2026 confession. In this season is shifting from rejected, I think it says, to Hephzibah or something. From forgotten, I think, to Beulah or something like that. Glory to God. We are God's beloved. It says, we give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. It says, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, who has loved us. Glory to God. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, who has loved us and has given us an everlasting consolation. That's his covenant. He has loved us with an everlasting love. He has made an everlasting covenant with us. This deal is everlasting. This deal is forever. We are forever settled. We are forever loved. We are forever settled. We are forever blessed. It has been written. It cannot be unwritten. We are forever loved. We are forever blessed. We are forever. Forever. We have that everlasting covenant with him. We are forever blessed. We are forever loved. We are forever esteemed by him. It's a settled deal. It's a forever deal. We are beloved by our Father. We are loved by him. Glory to God. He has given us an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. So therefore, he said, comfort your hearts. May he comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Father, we thank you so much for tonight. Our God, we give you the glory and we give you the praise. Thank you for loving us with an everlasting love. Thank you, Lord, for the everlasting covenant you have made with us. Thank you. We are forever loved. We are forever blessed. It cannot be unwritten. It cannot be changed. We take your love tonight. We fix our heart on your love tonight. We celebrate your love for us tonight. We lay hold on upon it. We possess it tonight. We give you the glory and we give you the praise. I speak your blessings over every one of my brothers and sisters, everyone under the sound of my voice. Bless them tonight and the rest of this week. Cause the words that we have heard to reverberate through our spirit, right? Through the rest of this season. We give you praise, our God. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. And amen. Well, saints, thank you so much again for joining us tonight. What a glorious time we have had in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I look forward to seeing you again same time next week. God bless you. Good night.